The Sheila Zielinski Show, the only show to give you the truth behind the headlines, prophecy, and the deeper things of God. Now, here is your host, Sheila Zielinski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sheila Zielinski Show for this Monday, April 3rd, 2017 edition. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to tune in to the broadcast today. We are flying through 2017. It is already April, which is hard to believe how fast this year. There's so much going on in the insane world. It's hard to keep up with the headlines. I'm going to be doing a expose on Disney. I've touched on this so many times over the years on my show. I got into it when I talked with Steve Quayle on Little Creatures. I got into it a bit when I did my, and you got to go back and check out Gods in Spandex, a YouTube video that I did. I touched on it in that. I touched on it again in a show I did with great video. By the way, if you have not seen the YouTube, Rory Taylor, Chris Brown, Occult Superheroes Exposed. That's a really good show. It's almost a part two of Gods in Spandex. So I'll link those two YouTube videos. Do check them out. Very good information considering Disney bought out Marvel and the litany of Marvel movies that are, we've already seen a lot of them, but there's tons more on the horizon. Of course, Spider-Man is back in theaters for the, what is that now? The 768,000th remake of Spider-Man? What's up with that? Wow. There is so much going on. And some of the stuff that's going on is frightening, to say the least. And here to join me on some of these frightening emerging trends is a very sharp guy. He's one of the smartest guys I know. It is Patrick Wood. He is the author of Technocracy Rising. Boy, where are we headed in society here? You know, it's like a rapid freight train to AI, autonomous vehicles, Agenda 2030, the smart cities, global brain, the Borg, transhumanism, the Internet of Things. I mean, this is a quantum leap into a sci-fi, but this isn't sci-fi, Patrick.
No, it's not. But I think maybe some people want us to think it is, but this is going on right now. And the powers that be that are shaping the world right now are doing things that the public just doesn't have a clue. Does not have a clue.
Clueless is actually an understatement, but I was reading an article on Wired. I actually linked it through Drudge, and it said that in the year, get this, and of course this goes back to the poster boy for Singularity, Ray Kurzweil. He said, of course, in 2010 at a conference that, you know, of course, he was talking about the transhumanism, but he's actually changed his forecast radically, saying, hey, 2029, Patrick, 12 years from now, This isn't things of, 100 generations from now. This is now.
It is. And just to kind of help people understand what Ray Kurzweil was predicting with the singularity, what he was saying, or what at least what he was proposing, is that artificial intelligence would exceed human capability in the year 4045, he said originally. That's how he figured how long it would take for artificial intelligence to grow and to, you know, get better and so on.
Right.
And so, you know, when you think about that, it's amazing. That means that a computer can outthink a human. And from there, the curve is virtually vertical. In other words, once the computer's got that capability, their own curve of advancement would virtually go vertical. And so Kurzweil predicted this many years ago. And because of recent developments now, stuff that's been happening, new inventions and new breakthroughs and this, that, and the other, Kurzweil's upped his or brought back his forecast from 2045 to 2029. That is huge. So he's looking at this just a few years out. I mean, you and I will probably be alive in 2029. I'm still reminded, however, that the Bible does have something to say about transhumanism. It says it's appointed for man once to die and then comes judgment. So I have a feeling that regardless of the best laid plans they have, that they're going to find there's a monkey wrench somewhere along the way that's going to screw their plans up. But nevertheless, they're making the prediction, right? So we just report it. There it is.
Well, just last week, this was on the Financial Post, Elon Musk's new company aims to upload and download thoughts. That's merging computers with human brains. So he launched his Neuralink, some venture to it. This literally merges the human brain with AI. So people can go and put in a Google search and look that up. But we're talking about, Patrick, the Internet of Everything.
This is a new term. It used to be, we used to be concerned with the Internet of Things. That's been kicked around for a long time. And the Internet of Things has to do with all the inanimate objects in the world, like your smart meter and your smart refrigerator and your smart light bulbs and your smart computers and your smartphone. They're all hooked together. They all talk to each other. They're going to. So, you know, people say, well, that's pretty scary. But wait a minute. The Internet of Things now, which is the big talk of the town, is going to include people in the mix. So all the inanimate objects in the world will be communicating pretty much on a real-time basis with all the people in close proximity in the world. Now, this hasn't been possible before, but it is now, thanks to communication breakthroughs like the new 5G standard just being going to be rolled out starting next year for cell phone communications. That's 5G, for instance, in relation to 4G and 3G and whatever. The new thing now is 5G.
Well, actually, Horizon just said on record recently they're rolling out trials in major American cities this year. This is not 10 years from now. This is this year, major metropolises. And this technology, this 5G, it's really a mobile technology to morph us into, or I guess bridging that divide by implementing this worldwide internet connectivity to absolutely enslave the masses. And yet people just don't get this, do they?
Well, no, it used to be, you know, we talked in terms of having like Cox cable or CenturyLink or something, you know, with a hardwire to your house, and then you have Wi-Fi in your house sort of thing. We used to talk in terms of fiber optic cable being connected to homes, and, you know, you get high-speed internet. The problem is those types of connections don't move when you move, right?
Yeah.
They're stationary. And what the global elite have figured out, the thinkers, this is the movers and shakers amongst the global elite. Your house is a geographic feature on the face of the planet. It can be crosshaired and, you know, longitude, latitude, whatever. Everybody knows where your house is. But when you go out of your house and you go to a doctor, you go to a store, you go to, you know, whatever, they lose track of you because your house is stationary, but you're moving. Well, the new theory in social engineering is we have to also set a geographic point, if you will, on all the moving objects in society. That means anything that moves, cars move. People move, drones move, other things move, but they want to track those moving things as points of geography, and that requires connectivity to do that. Mobile connectivity, not fixed connectivity, mobile connectivity. So the new 5G standard that you mentioned is being tested right now, and it's certainly going to be rolled out next year, this new 5G is going to provide people in cities, for instance, on their cell phones and, you know, other things that they carry with at least 100 megabit per second connection. Now, you probably don't even get that at your home right now with your cable that you have. That's huge. That's so fast. You just can't hardly imagine how fast it is. Back in the old days when networks and offices were like wired together with coaxial cable, we used to lust for having a 10 megabit per second connection within our own office. Then gigabit stuff came out. You know, that was, oh man, that was really just setting the world on fire. But now the mobile technology is going to replace all that with super, super high speed connectivity on every device that you have that has like cell capabilities. That means everything's connected in real time. Real time. In other words, there's no delay in stuff being uploaded, or it has to wait until the signal gets better. 5G is going to allow for instantaneous survey of the entire landscape. I mean, it's just been conceived before, but now 5G is going to make it possible.
Tech World, I was reading a white paper, and this next generation wireless system, Patrick, I was really stunned because, again, there's no formal standards for 5G to be met. They don't know the implications health-wise of the absolute inundation of radiation. I mean, look at the stuff that Barry Trower was covered and the, you know, electromagnetic frequencies. And I mean, I've had Dr. Laura right. Presley on with smart meters. We know they're bursting blood cells of people when they stand within a certain distance of their smart meters. So we're getting bathed in a toxic soup of something.
Well, we are, and they don't care at this point. They have said they don't care because it has to be. They look at this as some sort of a manifest destiny almost. You know, it's like, we have to do this because we just have to. This is a technocrat mindset, by the way. You'll find that this is common to people who are in this mindset. They don't care what the unintended consequences might be ever because it's the discovery of the technology that matters to them, not what it does down the road, but it's the discovery of it. And yeah, we don't know. We don't know what it's going to be like until, but we're going to find out real soon. Now, I have a book in my hand. I wish I had video. I could show this to you. The book is called Priorities for GEOINT Research, GEOINT. What GEOINT stands for is Geospatial Intelligence. Now, this book was produced by the National Research Council. This is an official document. It was produced at the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency. This was the original requirements for geospatial intelligence that was put together by the National Academy of Sciences back in 2006. That's only, 11 years ago now. And I got a hold of this book. I knew I had to have it. When I saw it, I said, I've got to have that because this was the architectural proposition or whatever for geospatial intelligence. That's the field of everything moving, but you're tracking it all the time. Do you remember the war games that took place down in Arizona and Texas, New Mexico 2 years ago?
Yes, Jade Helm 15.
There you go, exactly. Jade Helm was an exercise to test the software that was specified by this document.
Bingo.
GEOINT Research. They'd put together this software. They tested it in battlefields around the world. They needed to test it in a clean environment where nobody had ever seen it before. But the idea was to establish patterns of people, track people by whatever means possible. You could track them by facial identification or cell phones or whatever. But you got to get them marked. You got to get a marker on them somehow so you know where they're moving. And you track the herd. It's herd management is what it is, Sheila.
Yeah.
You track the herd and then you put this on a screen, like on a big computer screen, and you can actually see the society that you're focusing on move about and do things, you know, the normal things within the context of the software. It's fueled by, of course, artificial intelligence. And whenever some event comes along that is out of the ordinary, right? Like, let's say you were supposed to go to your doctor, but instead you ended up 15 miles away at a gun store. Right. And it goes ding, 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 you know, and all of a sudden alarm bells go off. Sheila's out there doing something. We're not sure what, but hey, let's fine tune our thing. Let's scope in on her and find out what's going on because she's zoned out of her normal pattern. Geospatial intelligence is the driving technocrat mentality behind 5G and behind connecting the world, that is the Internet of Everything, together. That is the driving impetus behind this. And I'll tell you what, you put it together and I mean, your jaw drops.
Yeah.
It just drops.
It does drop. And I'll tell you, you know, when you think about all the, because it's kind of interesting when I personally look at Agenda 30, of course, talk about Agenda 21 in this extensively in my book and at the role of the United Nations. I mean, it's so sinister. I call it Satan Central. But the United Nations, Patrick, they want to be the global manager. They want to push forward this truly globally controlled, micromanaged, transhumanist utopia, really, don't they?
Well, they're certainly the ones that are the catalyst right now. They're being used as a catalyst to infect the rest of the world. This has been a purposeful thing, by the way, and it's been mostly the global corporate world that set them up to this to get the political buy-in to push it through. But this conference that we've been kind of alluding to that took place in Barcelona, Spain in February, it's called Mobile World Congress.
Yeah.
This was the big global meeting place for all of the tech giants in the world that are concerned with mobile technology. Everybody was there, anybody. It was like the G20 of the mobile world, right? Or the Bilderberg of the mobile world. They were all there. And the sponsoring organization was an organization called GSMA. I forget what the acronym stands for, but you know, they're an industry NGO. So the head of that organization, GSMA, gave the keynote speech at the opening of ceremony. And if nobody was concerned about, you know, well, hey, it's just businesses, you know, just mobile. They're making cell phones better, and don't we want better? Okay, listen to what he said. This is a direct quote out of off his website. It says, Matt, his name is M-A-T-S, interesting name. His last name is Granard, G-R-A-N-R-Y-D, very odd name for us. But he says, Granard is a strong proponent of sustainability and led the mobile industry in becoming the first sector to broadly commit to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, the SDGs, in 2016. He is now spearheading initiatives to amplify and accelerate the mobile industry's impact on all 17 of the SDGs across both developed and developing markets. Close quote. Now, wow. Could this be tied together in a little bundle any better? This is not innocuous. They're doing this for the sake of implementing technocracy that the United Nations has put forth under the name of sustainable development. It's incredible. It's blatant. It's so blatant that you can hardly believe it. Did that really say that on his website? Yes, it did.
You know, it's like they want us in this complete pseudo-captivity, this techno-sorcery-induced coma, don't they?
Exactly. If I think the most appropriate end state that we could name it would be scientific dictatorship.
Yeah.
Not dictatorship by people, dictatorship by technology. There's a big difference. But I would dare anybody listening to this broadcast, for instance, to go down to your bank and try and withdraw, say, $500 from the machine teller at night. Go down at 8 o'clock at night after the bank's closed. Try and get out $500. What are they going to tell you? Sorry, you've exceeded your daily limit. You only get $300 a day or $200 a day. So you go down to another branch. Yeah, fool them. I'll go down to another branch and I'll take out another $200 there. No, sorry, Mr. Zelensky, you've exceeded your daily limit. You can't get money out of this machine either. So you get smart and you go to a different bank. And I'll put my card in down at Chase or somewhere else, where I don't have an account, but I can pay a fee and get some money. You put the card in, you get the same message back. They all communicate with each other. They all know what's going on. You took out $300 today in the morning. You ain't going to get one more nickel out of anybody's bank anywhere in the world. And you can scream and holler, hit the machine as much as you want. It ain't going to help. You're not going to get a nickel. This is the essence of scientific dictatorship. It's your money, but you can't get your hands on it because somebody says no. Now, just multiply that by all of the things that you know about Agenda 2030, all the things you know about the biodiversity treaty, and you know all the other things, Agenda 21 things you're trying to do, and you can see how science is going to put this dragnet around the human race. And we're going to find ourselves in a state, just like that bank, where you can't go anywhere. You can't do outside of what they say for you by program. You can't do it.
It's like, Patrick, you're going to Bozeman, Montana? No, you're not, because you've exceeded your carbon footprint. That's the Green Gestapo is implementing that. And people laugh and they think I'm a kook when I say that. But listen, that is a fact with all the merging of Agenda 30 and the ICLEI, the sustainable development death cult that's running around saving the planet. You will be punished and unable, I believe, to travel. Wow, Aldous Huxley would have salivated at this.
Well, I think if he was still alive, he'd be writing another book. But you know what? There's been so much science fiction and movies and stuff like that that talk about a dystopian world. People would yawn. They would look at your book and they'd yawn.
Yeah.
Like they do at my book sometimes. And some people probably yawn at your book too. You know, I've seen all that before. That was in a movie or what? People have been conditioned.
Totally conditioning and predictive programming. I mean, it's not bad enough now that your employer is asking for your DNA. But Patrick, I took a picture about 6 years ago and I posted on Facebook. It was crickets chirping, didn't pick up any wind. HSBC Bank had a picture that said, and you got a picture now, a little thumb with some ink that looked like you would go and get your thumbprint at a police station. It was a picture of a thumb, and it said, here was the caption, your DNA will be your data. And I thought, wow. And I phoned HSBC Bank for 3 weeks, and I couldn't find who is responsible for putting those out. But it was just a stunning revelation. And you actually covered this. They're now, employers are asking for people's DNA.
Mm-hmm. I know. And this information is going to be public. Everything else is public about you. Why not that too? You know, the people in the world, I know, screwed up as the whole world is and individual people in the world, the world is so starved for wisdom. It's just staggering. There's no wisdom anywhere in this stuff. Nobody's got a, it's like the Scarecrow and the Wizard of Oz. Nobody's got a brain. And there's no wisdom because science is dispassionate. It has no compassion, has no love, has no ability to reason things through and understand whether it's wise to pursue something or not. So this stuff races forward at breakneck speed. Just, hey, we don't care. We don't care about the ethics of it. We don't care about any responsibility. We have no responsibility because we're scientists. And everybody knows scientists invent. Engineers invent too, of course. But they do it because they can, not because they, you know, it's going to serve society in any particular way. And so all these things keep cropping up. And you say, guys, somebody's got to step in somewhere. Somebody's got to step in and say, look, do you really know what you're doing? Do you know what impact it's going to have on society? Do you care? If you don't care, maybe you should just get out. Go use your own money and practice your own science at home. But we ain't giving any more taxpayer money to nail us to the wall.
I think the intense cross-pollination between the biotech, the nanotech, they're fusing robots with humans, altering the genome, altering the frequencies of the DNA, how it performs and replicates. And the question becomes, and think about this, China has on record admitted to, you know, making the first, well, we'll call it chimera. I mean, what are we being changed into? It's not bad enough, Patrick. We got the GMO Frankenfoods and the chemtrails and the Morgellons disease and nanoparticles. And dear God, if you look at DARPA's sinister projects, that is straight out of a, I mean, it is a sci-fi what's going on. You got electronic skin. I mean, what in the world is going on here?
Yeah,
I mean, it's just this one mishmash from hell, isn't it? And I guess the question is, what are we being changed into is the question.
Well, listen to this definition of technocracy from 1938. I could have written this forum yesterday, but this is what they said back in 1938. And you won't believe how much nothing has changed, right? Nothing's new under the sun. This is from the Technocrat magazine. Direct quote, technocracy is the science of social engineering, the scientific operation of the entire social mechanism to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population, close quote.
Wow.
That's been the goal from day one. It's the science of social engineering. Now, somebody got deluded somewhere when they put social sciences together with real science. What a foolish thing to do. But they bought the lie that there's some connection between like engineering and things social. There's nothing. There's never been anything, but these people believe it. They believe that there is a science of social engineering, and secondly, they can use it to create this scientific operation of what they call the entire social mechanism. And the object of it is to produce and distribute goods and services to the entire population. In other words, they want 100% control of all the means of production and all the means of consumption. They want to tell you what you can make, and they want to tell you what you can consume. And otherwise, society is engineered according to their own desires. That's scientific dictatorship.
Yeah, well said. Well, look at how Capita replacing staff with robots to save money. Insiders in Japan were talking just last week again about robo T-Rexes running around. Is that really a good idea? Pizza Hut, they have a new restaurant in Shanghai. It has robots on staff. You've got Amazon Echo and Amazon Alexa. That Amazon Alexa, that's a creepy thing. It shuts down when questioned about her CIA connection. And yet people love this stuff. 9 out of 10 people, hey, Patrick, let it fly. The more technology, the better. Sadly, I mean, I just read a survey. What is it? 1 out of 3 people prefer robot politicians over real ones. Do we really need a Robama in the future?
Well, I could think of some instances where they're already better than some politicians, but only because they might just sit there and mumble words off of a tape track or a computer track or something.
But when you have mini nukes and mosquito-like robot weapons flying around being primed for future warfare, I mean, dear God, what kind of future is in store for us? I can't even get my own iPhone to work half the time without glitching. What does this kind of future look like with robotics at the helm? Artificial intelligence is just that. It's artificial. Something is bound to go wrong somewhere here.
You've heard of IBM's Watson, for instance.
Yeah.
That's their artificial intelligence program that's done all kinds of amazing things. Watson, Thomas Watson, was the first president, actually founder of IBM back in the 30s. And so that's why they named it Watson after him. It's a good name for, something look like the butler or something, right? Watson, come here, please. Watson, the artificial intelligence program, is being targeted for medical things right now. And so Watson knows how to learn. It knows how to remember things. It has memory. It can remember outcomes and stimuluses and all kind of stuff. Consider this, though. Watson has read every medical journal in the world. Secondly, Watson reads every new medical journal every day before the day's out. And Watson is applying all of his artificial intelligence prowess against those studies and against those papers to reason a database, if you will, that can diagnose diseases better than any doctor on the planet, more accurately, more timely, and everything else, any doctor on the planet. It's already exceeded the capacity of any normal group of doctors to provide diagnosis of an illness. This is just one field. They're just dealing with the medical field right now. But if you kind of can grasp the enormity of what Watson has done, and then look at the other fields that it could potentially be trained on. Here's a good example. Wall Street, I can't remember the firm, but this just this week, maybe yesterday, Wall Street is turning to robot stock pickers for clients because they're more accurate and they do a better job than people do. Well, yeah, so there goes your bonus, you know.
Yeah, but Patrick, scientists are even calling now for Terminator-style robots to be built so their human tissue can be harvested. And get this quote. I mean, I read this article in Science Robotics, and these two university, of course, they're Oxford biomedical researchers, were saying that humanoid robots would make the best frame to grow tissue for harvesting. So you've got this Professor Carr saying, this is a gigantic leap towards, get this word, biohybrid humanoids. What could go wrong?
Yeah, what's wrong with this? It sounds like a wonderful thing. The third element at that Mobile World Conference that we didn't discuss was the discovery of a man-made atomic structure called graphene. It's taking carbon and putting it together, if you could just kind of imagine a quilt, putting it together in a hexagon configuration, a series of hexagons. They're all connected together. And you remember, carbon is the 666 element. It has 6 neutrons, 6 protons, and 6 electrons. Isn't that interesting? Where did I hear that 666 before? Oh, yeah, it's in Revelation. But anyway, graphene is amazing because in a single layer, that is a two-dimensional layer of this hexagon carbon, what happens with this is that it creates like a miracle surface 200 times stronger than steel.
Wow.
It conducts electricity better than semiconductors. It can be used as artificial skin. It's going to revolutionize medicine, unquestionably. Electronics, energy, desalinization of water. There's so many uses for graphene that they say this is going to have as much of an impact on this new industrial revolution as the light bulb had on the first industrial revolution.
Wow, that's incredible. And think about what the UK Daily said about graphene. It's as thin as saran wrap, yet it can hold a very large elephant. Think about that for a sec. Ugh. Between Watson and graphene, it's time to head for the hills, Patrick.
That's pretty incredible. So, you know, I questioned, why would graphene want to be represented at Mobile World? You know, what's this all about? At first, I couldn't figure out exactly why graphene would be a big deal at Mobile World, yet they were one of the big sponsors that were there. And universities around the world are studying this. It was rediscovered in only 2004, so it's a relatively new technology. But all the universities and industry are studying graphene right now. But one of the things from the brochure that was at the Graphene Connect workshop at Mobile World, the subtitle was From Datacom to IoT, which is the Internet of Things, Enabled by Graphene. Then all of a sudden the light bulb went off or on for me. Okay, it's going to enable the Internet of Things. Now, how's it going to do that, I wonder? Well, one of the things is it's going to revolutionize the way cell phones are made. Secondly, it's going to revolutionize how sensors are made, because graphene skin, if you will, is more sensitive to the touch than human skin.
Wow.
Just think how sensitive your fingers are to touch. Graphene, if you use it on a robot, you know, for artificial skin, graphene is more sensitive than your fingertips to touch, you know, to sense things. So graphene is going to make an industry of sensors that can be sprinkled and put throughout the environment that will know whenever anything happens in the environment. This doesn't sound good. You know, when you put this together with the 2030 agenda and, you know, the other things they talked about, like AI and 5G and now this graphene thing coming in, you put this all together, this is all like, you know, science fiction anyway, but you put it together, this triad, if you will, and this is dangerous stuff. So I can say it's dangerous, dangerous stuff. There is no ethical debate going on anywhere on these technologies. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, everybody in Congress is screwing us to the wall on this. They really are. We're going to get it either way. It's just like the law that the House just passed, that it's going to be okay if ISPs, that's internet service providers, sell your browser history without your consent.
Right.
Oh, thank you very much. They're going to know everything that I browse now. Everybody in the world is going to know what my browsing history is, including the government. This was a Republican's, the GOP initiative that did this to us. It's like nothing has changed. See that, which, by the way, this supports my original contention. The technocrats are like a submarine. They operate under the water, but very effectively. You can't see them, but they're there and they're doing their business and nobody's paying attention to them because you can't see them, out of sight, out of mind. But the technocrats are still in control. They're the ones still pushing this kind of, you know, this kind of stuff and manipulating our politicians to go along with them. They don't understand what they're talking about. Oh, yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's make browser history. You know, whoever wants to buy it, let them buy it.
Yes, it's frightening. You know, Patrick, it's like they want us in this pseudo-captivity, techno-sorcery-induced, neo-pagan, mystical, magical world controlled by the occult. If it isn't cannibalism being trendy, spirit cooking and Aleister Crowley-style Thelema and Pedogate, you know what this reeks of? It's like Nimrod's dark directive, he being the poster boy, the prototypical transhumanist. He was the ultimate despot, the son of perdition. His Shinar directive, the whole enslaving of humanity, the war against God. And of course, we saw God's intervention at the Tower of Babel, which delayed his hellish plans. But here we go again, Patrick. We're barreling down the track towards Babylon 2.0. You know what this is? This is global Babel. That's what it is.
It is. And one book I hope that if you haven't already got it, you might get a hold of it sometime, by Dr. Parag Khanna, K-H-A-N-N-A. The title of the book is Connectography. Not like geography, but connectography, mapping the future of global civilization. And what he proposes in this book is a very scholarly book. He's part of the global elite, academic cadre. And he proposes in this book that the cities of the world, the global cities, are going to be the new actors on the world stage for any kind of, you know, influence and power. And the global cities are all connected internally and externally as well to each other. And so He views a borderless world, number one, where the city-state will be the primary actor. And he proposes connecting all the city-states together, get this now, to create a global city. Now, knowing what we've already heard about 5G and connections and all that kind of stuff, you can picture, even though Paris is in France, London's in England, New York's in the U.S., Toronto's in Canada, Seattle is on the West Coast, you take all these global cities, Hong Kong, Beijing, and if you connect them together with high-speed infrastructure, which is what they're doing, he envisions creating a global city that acts as one. A global city with no borders. This so far surpasses Babel. It's not even funny. But it's the same MO, isn't it? It's the same thing. We can create a city so great that it will take control of the destiny of humanity, even perhaps reaching up into heaven. That's my commentary, by the way, not what he said. Just is very blunt about connectography. If you connect all the cities together with this infrastructure, the cities will begin to operate as a global mind, which is what they talked about at Mobile World. It'll begin to operate as a global mind with a global consensus, with global policy all connected together by artificial intelligence, and it will literally be a global city no matter where you go.
We're beginning to realize now, Patrick, that the mark of the beast and the image of the beast are much more than we could have ever imagined. I mean, forget an RFID chip. I mean, this is beyond an implant. It's beyond a physical mark. It'll affect our DNA at a molecular level as the powers that, you know, I call them the powers of this whole mystery Babylon, gather to create, as I just said, it's a global Babel, isn't it?
By definition, that's what's happening. It is that you say, well, where's the common language? Common language is digital. It's a digital language, if you will. And there's not a web page, for instance, that you can go on now that doesn't have a translate button. You know, go look up a German website. Anyone, go look it up on Google. You pull up a German site and a button will appear, translate, right at the top of the page. You click it, boom, it translates it in real time into English. You could do that with Chinese. You could do it with any language in the world. But the digital language, ones and zeros, and, of course, the technology goes around computers and nanotechnology and biotechnology, the DNA, all that's common language. It's a little bit different than what they had back then, Tower of Babel, but it's the same idea. And connecting the world together is the same. And by technology, by the way, that's the same false story that was given to Babel. I know people can say, well, how did Babel have a false story? Listen, they built everything before Babel, before Nimrod, with rocks and mortar. That's the best they could do. Irregular shaped rocks and mortar. So they could build a little house that hopefully, you know, the big bad wolf didn't come along and huff and puff and blow it all down. That's the best they could do. So nothing was two story. It's all one story buildings. Nimrod came along and said, I've got a great idea, a new technology. We can bake bricks. We'll put them in a square mold and we'll bake them in the sun, in the hot sun. And then I've got this other thing over here called pitch. And they use pitch to stick the bricks together, like earthquake proof almost. And they said, you know, once he demonstrated that the technology was viable, people bought into that technology and they concluded there isn't anything that we can't build with this new technology of square baked bricks and pitch, tar, to stick them together. And they bought into the lie. And here they are building the tower straight up into heaven, they think, when God came down and said, no, 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 you're not doing that anymore. Scattered the languages. That took care of that. But see, technology was at the root of the deception with Nimrod.
Yes, technology was at the root back then. And also technology is the deception of today, isn't it?
It is. And at this point, prophetically speaking, I'm not sure that the strong delusion that the Bible talks about, God sending upon the world, I'm not sure that we have even gotten that far yet. Maybe we have. I wouldn't argue the point too much, but I'm not sure at all that we're at that point yet where he sends a strong delusion and really sets these people in their beliefs. But even without that, with or without it, the world right now is thoroughly deceived about these things. And technology, the promise of technology, is what is driving the whole thing forward, the thrill of discovery. That's what Kurzweil, Ray Kurzweil, is all about. That's what the singularity is all about. That's what mobile world is all about. And the whole 5G thing. It's like in their minds, they're thinking, if we could just get this one more thing, just one more thing, we would change the world. And yeah, in fact, they are, aren't they? But, you know, technology is deceptive just by nature. It can be used for good. Well, actually, it's just like money. It's not evil per se, but technology can be used for good of mankind, but in the hands of evil men, it can be used for horrible, destructive social outcomes. And that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yes, sir, we are. And we've come full circle. That is a lot of information for people to process in a short amount of time. But Patrick, in the waning moments, I want to just quickly tell people you're going to be speaking at an amazing event coming up in Montana in June. And all that information is on your website. It's called the Red Pill Expo. I've got it linked there today in the bio. Hey, if you're anywhere near Montana, go check that out. That is Red Pill Expo. Just go to Patrick's website. Patrick, give out your website where people can get more info on the Red Pill Expo, where there's going to be a lot of like-minded people. Great guests like Lord Monckton, Ty Bollinger, you're going to be speaking. Sheriff Mac's going to be there. It's just a great lineup. Lord Monckton is hilarious. So do give out your website. And also, if people have not got it, how can they get your book, Technocracy Rising?
People can find me at technocracy.news. That's my website on technocracy. And my book is available there, of course, but it's also available on Amazon. And there's a Kindle version. Some people really like Kindle, an ebook, if you will. So either way, you can buy it from me or you can buy it from Amazon. If you buy it from my website, I always send out an autographed copy. I like to do that and, you know, just put a little note in it to people. Kind of my personal thing, I guess.
See, that's something robots can't do. Give a personal touch. And why go through Amazon when they take like, what, almost 60%? It's like, yikes. Patrick, it's always such a pleasure for you to come on the program and weigh in the crazy end time lateness of the hour that we do live in. Thank you so much. And do come back and see us real soon, Patrick.
My pleasure, Sheila.
Folks, that was Patrick Wood, author of Technocracy Rising. Go to redpillexpo.org. That's redpillexpo.org. Find out more information about that June 23rd, 24th Montana event. Great speakers assembled all in one place. That's going to be really exciting. I wish I could go. And Patrick's website again, technocracy.news. That's an easy one. He's such a great guy, isn't he? What a good guest. This Wednesday, you want to be tuned in. I have Russ Dizdar on the program. We've been trying to connect for the last month, and finally, Russ is coming on the program. Derek Gilbert is Friday. That's going to be a great show as well. This week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I've got a whole lot of stuff to catch up on. I am so slammed. I'm busier than a one-legged man at a butt-kicking contest, as my grandpa used to say. And do not forget to go to weekendvigilante.com, click on those social media icons, follow me on Twitter, like my Weekend Vigilante Facebook page, and lastly, subscribe to my YouTube channel. Go there right now, as a matter of fact, and subscribe because I'm going to have some exclusive interviews that are only going to be available on YouTube. Thank you for tuning into the program tonight. God bless you all. Good night.